In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The parable of the vineyard and the husbandman, sometimes in some translations called the vine dressers in particular, is generally interpreted as referring to the people of Israel, the chosen people of God, as a warning to those that Jesus was speaking to directly at that time, that God had given into their hands a way of making life a preparation for the fulfillment of all the potentials of life in the world and human life in particular, but that what he had given them and the way he had made them the people of God, it was not simply for their own sakes. It certainly was for the sake of their transformation, but it was for the sake of his being able to come and see that all had profited unto God, unto holiness, that a spiritual profit had been made that would be returned to him, because it is his vineyard, it is his world. We are his. We belong to him. Our lives belong to him. We can't fulfill ourselves unless we live in the way that he makes it possible for us to live. And so, with the coming of Christ, those who rejected him, those who reject the one who comes to receive the fruit of all of the time that God spent with the people of Israel, preparing them for this moment, if they reject the one to whom the vineyard belongs, then those husbandmen, those vine dressers, they will be cast out. And new husbandmen will be given the vineyard so that they can profit by all that God has done in order to make it possible for us to fulfill the life of the world, to participate in the fulfillment of the life of the world accomplished by Jesus Christ by destroying the power of death, and also to fulfill our own lives spiritually by uniting our life to his conquest of the power of death over the world. And that is where we come in. For us, the parable of the vineyard has a kind of an extended meaning that we can get from the parable. In a real way, the vineyard is referring both, on the one hand, to the life of the church, and on the other hand, to our own spiritual lives within ourselves. The church is that vineyard, and we ourselves, within ourselves, are a kind of vineyard, a place where fruit is meant to be tended and nurtured. The weeds are meant to be pulled. New plants of virtues are meant to be planted and watched over, so that in the end, good fruit will bear a harvest to the glory of God. And when it comes to the church, we have been reassured that the forces of evil, the forces that don't love God, will not be allowed to prevail over the church. But when it comes to us, ourselves, the responsibility is our own. We are free. God has given us the church. He has given us a place where we are at home in this world, even before the restoration of God's creation to be as it is meant to be. Before the end time, the church is our home, and it is a kind of vineyard. God has placed overseers in the vineyard to watch over the vines, and we all have a part to play in the responsibility of those overseers, those husbandmen, the bishops. The priests help the bishops to dress the vines. Now, what does that mean? It means to cut off those, you know, little suckers that shoot out and just take the vitality of the vine and keep it from producing good fruit. Keep things trimmed. Keep the weeds from overtaking the vines. It's not just the responsibility of the overseers, of the bishops. It's not just the responsibility of the priests. It's the responsibility of all of us. All of us have our part to play in keeping the vineyard producing, making it open to others so that they can come in and benefit from what God has made it possible for us to do, for us to be able to transform ourselves through sharing in the work of the one who is all that we should desire to be and need to be. Jesus, the Christ, he is the one who is everything that a human being needs and desires to be. And each one of us can share in his perfection and come closer and closer to being the person that God created us to be. So our life is pursued by sharing in his life. And we do that by going about our work in the vineyard. Now, in the vineyard, there are two ways that we can understand our life. And if we're talking about the church, and then we want to apply it to our souls, our own spiritual life, we can think of the fact that as Orthodox, our understanding is that we have both right faith and right worship. That is, right belief, if we want to put it in those words, and also right worship. But by right faith and right belief, we're not just referring to the formal teachings and doctrines of the Orthodox faith that we can find in the writings of the fathers and in the creed. Now, those are the formal statements of those things, and we can gain guidance from them. But to have right faith, to have right belief, it must be right faith in our heart. The desire of our heart must be to be fulfilled in that best and most noble and holiest way that is the only way that can fulfill who we are by sharing in the life of the one who has already accomplished that. And so right faith is not just a matter of formal doctrines and teachings. It's a matter of what is going on in our heart. What desires are given to the soul that motivate us in our life in the world? And because of those desires, we find that we act in one way rather than another. We find that we act in ways that build our spiritual life into a life of sharing the virtues of a human being in the best possible way. We can see that in Christ. We can share in those virtues by choosing them. Or we can go the other way. We can betray him, God, and ourselves. It's a struggle. It's an effort. It's work to live in the vineyard. Now, this vineyard, it has around about it, to protect it, those formal doctrines and teachings. We can tell where the vineyard ends and where the wide open spaces of the world outside, the world of general chaos in which the church lives, begins beyond the hedge of the doctrines and teachings. They help us because they define that space within which we work out our salvation by caring for the vineyard, by tending to those vines, by clearing places where overgrowth has grown up and we have to cut it down and re-till and maybe plant new virtues where things have been left go in that part of the vineyard. That's our responsibility, not just in the church, but in ourselves as well. We have to make this spiritual effort. It is the content of our participation in the life of Christ. The content of our participation by fulfilling our own lives as human beings, freed from the fear of death, freed from the idea that we have to somehow establish a place of our own in the world, because we have no one that we can rely upon. The fact is that we can rely upon not just Christ himself, but all of those who also rely upon him. All of the apostles, all of the saints, all of the members of the church. Now, we are not perfect in ourselves. The saints, in their life in the world, we can see if we read the Gospels, they struggle with all of the same things that we struggle with in our own lives. But they are drawn up to the highest way that a human being can live because of the fact that Jesus is fully a human being and has shown that it is possible for one who is united to God, whom he himself is, and if we unite ourselves to him, then it is possible for us to live through our lives in the best possible way, choosing the good, rejecting what takes us down the wrong path. That's the content of our spiritual lives. And so inside of ourselves, we have to do that same kind of overseeing. We have an overseer of the soul. It's called by the fathers the spiritual intellect, or the nous. It's the overseer of the soul. Now, when our ability to use our minds and think is reduced simply to something that we exercise on the things of the world, it simply becomes a kind of worldly intelligence. But that's not what it's given for. Using our mind and applying it to the things of the world, it's like cultivating the plants of the world for our food. They're not meant to sustain us, and they won't sustain us all by themselves. It's a practical intelligence that is really meant to be fulfilled by being a spiritual intelligence, choosing the best ways of living, choosing to offer the fruits of our work up to God rather than consuming them ourselves and imitating the mistake of Adam and Eve in the garden. That's the spiritual overseer that is in us, that gives us our desires. When we want to know what we ought to desire, we need to pray to God and learn to function in terms of this spiritual capacity to love God and discover what it is that we ought to be doing in the world. And so we have an overseer within ourselves. The fact of the matter is that we are not all that we mean to be. None of us is all that we mean to be. Not when it comes to our way of understanding the world, not when it comes to the fact that we desire things of the world that are less than the best things. Our action in the world is led oftentimes by our desire of physical things, just like those vine dressers who planned and plotted once the vines had been dressed and pruned and had come to the point that the fruit was ready. They knew that someone was coming. The landowner, the owner of the vineyard, was going to come and ask for the fruit of the harvest. And they decided that they wanted to keep it for themselves. Now, this is something that happens within us. It's something that we can recognize. We do all the work. We do the things that we are capable of. We take advantage of our capacities and our abilities, and we put in the labor to reach as high as we possibly can. And when the point comes that the fruit is ready to be harvested, we decide we want to take something for ourselves at a spiritual level. We want to take pride, or we want to build ourselves up in a vain kind of way. And when we do that, we are taking the fruit of the work, the spiritual effort that we've made, and keeping it for ourselves instead of giving it over to God. That's what these vine dressers wanted to do. They wanted to own the vineyard. Well, we don't own our lives. We don't own the world. God created us. He made this world. He created this vineyard, this life that we live, so that we might prosper spiritually, so that we might gain out of every effort that we make in the world at a spiritual level. Not that we greedily grab hold of the fruit of the work that we do in the world and say, this is something that belongs to me. I will consume the fruit of my spiritual labor in the world. So what happens? Well, the one whom we know is Jesus, the Christ, the landowner, the owner of the vineyard, the owner and the Lord of this world, comes. He throws out these vine dressers that have worked hard but want to consume the fruit, the spiritual fruit of their effort in the vineyard, and he gets new vine dressers. Now, what is it about these vine dressers within ourselves, if we're thinking about what goes on inside of us, the spiritual struggle that we have, on the one hand, to set ourselves up in a false kind of way, to create a non-existent being in ourselves and call it ourselves, something that lives for itself, something that is greedy and filled with desire and wants to turn away from God and is selfish in the presence of others and wants to win over others and have everything for themselves. That false, non-existent being must be cast out by ourselves. It is a fantasy. It is an idol of ourselves that we have made. It is not our true selves. Like the bad overseers, like the bad vine dressers, like the bad husbandmen, that false old Adam has to be cast out. And what are we losing? We are losing the false Adam. Not Adam as he was created to be. Not the true Adam, not our true selves. In fact, we are not losing anything at all. Although we will be tempted to fear, out of the fear of death, because that's why that idol was created in the first place, as a kind of hedge against our fear of death. We will be tempted to say, no, this is what I want. This is the real person that I am. But it's a lie. It's not the true person that we really are. So within ourselves, it's up to us to cast out that false vine dresser, that false idol, and to be the good husbandman within our own soul. That is the meaning of this parable of the vineyard when we think about it being the church on the one hand and our soul on the other. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.